Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
This past week, and so I've been working hard on that. Again, the theme is any place, any price. And as you know, we've been talking about discipleship and what it means. We're trying to answer this question. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does that mean? How do you do that? How do you walk that out? And Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. And he'll change your life. He says, I've called you not just to be a fisher. He goes, come follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll give you something to live for that's eternal, that's good, that's right. And so we've adopted the seven attributes of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. From the book of Matthew, and if you remember, we've kind of gone through one of these each week. The first one's the most important, learn to be with Jesus. John chapter 15, abide with him, and you'll have fruits in your life. Learn to listen, learn to heal, learn to love, learn to pray. And then Pastor Andy and the Marlton Youth Church do a wonderful job last Sunday. Amazing. Amen. Dennis did a good job. Today we're talking about learning to influence and share the faith and letting people know about the goodness of God. And there's a scripture from the book of Matthew that goes with each one of the seven attributes. And our scripture today is Matthew chapter 28. And where is Amanda? Come on, Amanda, we need your help real quick. Come all the way up to the front. She has memorized the Great Commission. Got to come around. She has it memorized and quoted. We'll follow along. Here we go.
Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
You did it. Good job right here. You did it.
Guys, great job.
Now let's all read it together. These are going to be the most important words you'll say all day. God's word. I've hidden God's word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against him. If you're struggling with sin, put God's word in your heart. It's our barrier, if you will. Let's read it together. Use your shower voice. Nice and deep. Here we go. Ready? Let's read it together. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you fulfill the Great Commission? This is what the Lord asked us to do. I want to try to answer by two questions. The first is this. We must obey the Lord by faith. This is not the great option, this is the Great Commission. And we move forward in obedience and by faith. All nations, any place, any price. The book of Acts says it like this, Acts 1 verse 8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witness. I actually added this part in. In Jerusalem, USA, and all of Judea, and all of Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Think about this. When Jesus said this to us, it's over 2,000 years ago. America was not even a country yet. Remember in 1400s, we thought America or the world was flat. Christopher Columbus sailed the nation blue, right? And what? Ocean blue. And what? He was going to find a nation. Anyway, they didn't even know. But the Lord said, go into all the world. So we're here in the West, in America. So this is our USA. This is our mission. Jesus said, go out from Marlton, Medford, Mount Holly, Mount Laurel, Chemung, Cherry Hill, and go into the highways and byways and invite people to come to know Jesus. We have to walk through this by faith, and we must obey the Lord. Now, this Wednesday night, we have an opportunity. Matter of fact, Missions Convention, we try to put pieces together to help us. Some churches will say missions, and they're talking about Africa. or South America. And boy, we need help in South America. We need help in Africa, Asia. That's wonderful. But our mission field starts right here in America, USA, in this area. And this Wednesday, we have an Invite Wednesday. We have a special guest by the name of John Pritikin. He's a strong man. A powerful demonstration, powerful message. He goes to all public schools. Matter of fact, somebody very wealthy is bringing him into this Philadelphia area to go to public schools in Philadelphia. He does acts of feats of strength. He rolls up frying pans and baseball bats. I showed him how to do all this stuff. He's really catching on. But he happened to be in the neighborhood. He said, hey, can we just hang out? I said, hey, we have an open service on Wednesday. I said, let's make this an outreach. Encourage all the people, invite their family and friends. Let's watch it, just 30-second video really quickly.
John can connect with these kids.
I think it was like a wake-up call.
It's a message that applies to all different cultures.
You could identify with him.
When I stop in the middle of my story and I say, if anyone's here today and you've been hurt by someone that's supposed to love you, I am here today to say this. I'm sorry. And to watch these students to start crying. Even though I'm talking to these students for about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, they have felt love they never felt before.
So he's going to get up here and tell us, really, he will. He's going to bend frying pans and baseball bats. He's going to spin kids around. But if you know his story, it's a very interesting story. Grew up in California, Jewish, but he was labeled as a child who would never become something. New Jersey's a very interesting state. Most people want to leave because of high taxes. But for special needs and people who need help in different areas, people will move into New Jersey, especially South Jersey, for help for their children. John Pritikin was one of those children who they kind of made statements about him. But today, he goes around the world. Millions of people, especially in public schools, will listen to his message about that you could become something, especially a message to moms and dads. Don't give up on your children. You don't have to overly medicate them. Trust God. Believe God. Give hope and encouragement. I'm telling you, this guy is huge. He's just strong. But he's going to share his testimony. Every time he shares his testimony, he cries. And he gives encouragement and hope. You say, why do this? Because if you'll invite somebody, it gives them an opportunity to know about Jesus. 95% of Christians will never share their faith with anybody else. Shame, shame on me and you. We have the message. It's not the police or the public school or the Kiwanis Club. It's not Hillary or Donald Trump. It's the Church of Jesus that has the gospel. And if we'll tell people, invite people, it could transform people's lives. Amen. So invite people to church this Wednesday. We have some of these invite cards left. Get them here. Drive them here. Pick them up. Take them out to eat. Whatever you have to do. But do it today. It happens through invitation. That's the gospel. Come, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. That's what the Lord wants to do. You say, well, what happens if people say no? You know, have you ever tried to share the faith and someone's just distracted? You're doing your best and they say no? Don't worry about it. Let them go. Let God deal with it. Find somebody who will listen to you. Ask God to give you a neighbor, a classmate, someone who's broken. Or find somebody who needs Jesus. Find somebody who's broken and disappointed, gone through a divorce, someone who's poor, who needs compassion, someone that's not like you. Lose your pride. It's not about you anyway. It's about the Lord. Find somebody. Hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to come to church? You'll be the best friend that ever. Sometimes we just look at our circle of friends, and most of them are Christians anyway, and you try to get somebody from another church or whatever to come, and that's nice, but find somebody who needs Jesus. Let God transform their life. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We must obey God by faith. Look at the book of Hebrews. It says it like this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, we need to obey God, but by faith, we must believe that God will help us. If you'll exercise faith, what God speaks into your life, you'll obey him. He'll expand your faith. Now you say, well, how does it work, especially with finances? How do you support Teen Challenge? Let me just say this. Between me and you, can I just talk to you for a second? Let me just tell you. You say, what does Teen Challenge really need? I'll tell you what they need. They need prayer. The number one thing ministry or missionaries need, they need prayer. So if you'll pray for missionaries, which we do here all the time, it'll be a blessing to you and blessing to them. It's like God begins to move supernaturally. Then secondly, you know what they need? Monthly missionary support. We support Teen Challenge. We cut them a check every week or every month, and it goes to them. That turns on their light. They have insurance. They have responsibilities. It doesn't magically happen. There are 13,000 Assembly of God churches. I wish every Assembly of God church participated. Most do. Our church has given almost $3 million in the last 8 years to missions. Amen. Amen. That's incredible. Some of you running finance and all that, you remember 2007, 2008, the boom and how it messed everybody up. I just know this, that if we'll keep focused on Jesus' work, he'll take care of us. That's all I know. He's been a faithful and a good God. So what happens is, in the Assemblies of God, you say, well, I go to an independent church. Well, that's good, but you get to miss out on something bigger than yourself. Our children have what's called BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. And so they usually get a barrel or a box, and they raise money. And it teaches them discipleship, how to manage. And those monies go to our missionaries. Our young people, Pastor Andrew's leading them. The monies that they raise go towards vehicles. Every Assembly of God missionary gets a vehicle. Isn't that wonderful? Is that a speed light vehicle out there, that van? Right there. That right there, young people, that vehicle. You guys can all take a test drive. You can drive, practice drive after. No, sorry. It's like, hey, we love you, Marlton, but we're out. Monies are raised, and all of our missionaries are funded with a vehicle. Could you imagine your family just going on a trip and not having, of course, you would rent a car or whatever. They're on the field learning a new language for 4 years away. How, you have to think about this. The Assemblies of God is the strongest mission program that the world has ever seen. Can you just show that picture up there real quick? The Assemblies of God. I want to show you these 120 people. 100 years ago, these 120 people in Hot Springs, Arkansas, this is what they said to themselves. We commit ourselves and the movement to him for the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. Fast forward 100 years. There's now 75 million Assembly of God people around the world. 13,000 Assembly of God churches, Teen Challenge, great Bible colleges, great ministry. But the Assemblies of God is actually bigger overseas. More people believe by faith overseas than here. I'm just telling you. The Assemblies of God, the power of God is moving with Pentecostal power everywhere around the world. We need to. You know what we need to do? We all need to get up on the stage after church and someone take a picture of us and say, we commit ourselves and the movement to him for the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. Wouldn't that be cool? Could you imagine, like, your grandkids? You're, like, in the casket. You know, my parents. Wait, I said something wrong? Wait, hold on a second. What did I say wrong? I don't know. What did I say wrong? Me? Yeah. Oh, we're all in the casket. That's a big casket. Could you imagine you're in the casket and you say, you know what, my dad, he got me an iPhone 7. Greatest dad in the world. Not so great. He gave me the greatest baseball bat. Gave me tickets to the Eagles or whatever. Or you say, you know what? My parents, my grandparents, my great parents, they were great people of faith. Moms and dad, build faith into your kids. Let them know God's real. God can minister in their life. God can do miracles in their life. God is moving by his spirit and power. He can do it in our lives. And we must operate in faith and obedience. Because no one who comes to God, we must first believe that God exists and he openly rewards those who obey him by faith. And God wants to expand your faith as he speaks to you. So this is what we do. We support 100 missionaries. There's approximately 4,000 Assembly of God missionaries. And what happens is they have to raise a budget, usually somewhere between, I don't know, 8 to 9 to 10, 12, maybe 15,000. Depends where they go. If they go to Japan, it's a lot more. If they go to South America, it's a little less. They have a budget. They come to our churches, and we support them. We joyfully support them. And this is how it works. A faith promise. I want you to see how it works for adults. Let's watch this video together.
A major reason the Assemblies of God was formed was to coordinate the support of a few missionaries scattered to the corners of the globe, taking the message of Jesus. 100 years later, Assemblies of God missionaries are still going. But now they are more than 2,000 strong and in 190 countries and territories. This did not happen because of a centralized missions fund run by a committee. It happened because of designated giving by people like you, faithfully supporting missionaries that you know, love, and pray for. Missionaries are only able to fulfill their divine call because God also calls people at home to faithfully give. This enables the home churches to support multiple missionaries every month. What makes this possible more than anything is the Faith Promise program. What is a faith promise? A faith promise is not our tithe or a portion of our tithe. Our tithe, the first tenth of our income, is the Lord's and supports our home church. A faith promise is beyond our tithe. It's a sacred act of worship, a personal spiritual agreement with God. We commit to give regularly through our home church and help fulfill God's plan to reach a lost world. As we make and then fulfill our faith promises, our leaders are able to determine and expand our church's missions impact on the unreached everywhere, no matter how remote, how neglected, or how resistant. Each faith promise is made for a specific period of time, and faith promise offerings are given regularly. Some will give each week, others monthly. Every family can make a faith promise, or each member. Even children can make individual faith promises. No amount is too small. God honors our obedience more than the amount of our giving. Jesus said that the widow who gave the smallest coin gave more than all the others because she gave all she had. As you consider your promise, please examine your faith for the power of God to fulfill His command through you and through your missionaries reaching a suffering world.
So that's how it works. Next Sunday is going to be Faith Promise Sunday, but can I just maybe share a story about what happened in our family? And I'm going to invite my middle daughter, her name is JoJo, up to the platform. JoJo, if you'll come. She's going to share her story a little bit this morning as well. JoJo. So I asked her to share a testimony because it kind of goes with her story and kind of her automobile, if you will. And it happened. Okay, so we have three daughters. One's at Evangel University, and then we have a 12-year-old, and JoJo's a senior at Cherokee High School about to graduate. And maybe, JoJo, you maybe put up that first black car. Maybe just explain what this car is and your best of your ability.
This was our first car, Toyota RAV4 2005.
Right, had like 90,000 miles. And how did we come to receive that car, do you remember?
The What If campaign, we gave away one of our cars. And so someone blessed us with this one.
When we were raising money for the new building, we felt like God spoke to us, a family, about giving a car away. Well, you had a teenage daughter. She wanted to get around. So we, is that what happened? Yeah, we gave money. That doesn't matter. We gave a car.
We sold our car.
Oh, we sold our car. That's right. We sold our car and gave the profits of the money to the building campaign. So maybe take the next picture of the black car. So, JoJo, you could tell what happened. This happened, what, back in May? Something like that?
April.
April, okay. So what happened there?
We were on our way to school, and it was raining. So I guess the girl behind us must have slipped or something happened. So
texting.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And she rear-ended us, and so.
So the girl behind her, they were actually standing still. There's a line. This is by the gas station right there on Main Street before you turn right into Cherokee. You could tell it's raining. So something happened where the girl behind her came, and the insurance company, they totaled the car. It was raining. Do you remember when you had your first car? Even if it was like a hoopty or whatever, you still like your first car. My daughters, they loved that car. It had a lot of miles, but you know what? It was a kind of a faith car where we were trusting God. And so all of a sudden now, and I have to be honest with you, we got a little money from the insurance, but we actually had some bills to pay. And my girls were like, well, Dad, you can buy us another car. I said, we don't really have the money for a car. You can get a job if you want to. So, but something else was happening in our heart about missions around the same time. If you're a part of this church, you know every fall, October, November, we do Fresh Missions Faith Promise. This past year, we went up. In our commitments, God was really stretching us because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. God honestly rewards those who operate in faith. And so We did what God told us to do, but around this time, I feel like God was speaking to me. I shared with my wife. I said, I feel like God is raising our missions giving by $200 a month. Now, listen, we're as real as you are. I give my tithe to the Lord, but also I have a freshman at Evangel University, and this one right here wants to go to college too. So this one right here. So now I'm saying we're going to have two kids in college within the next certain months. They want a car. We have bills to pay. We have responsibilities. And God, you're asking me to go up in my missions giving? You know what I said to God? No. You know what stinks about saying no to God? It never works. When God asks you or tells you or he wants to faith, he will provide for you. There's like this. When the Lord speaks, if you'll obey him and walk by faith, he will provide. So I called family meeting. I said, you got to clean your room. No, I'm just joking. I called a family meeting. I said, guys, this is what I think God's telling us to do. We must trust him. I know you want a car. I know you like your old RAV4 car, 2005. But the Lord is asking us to give more money to missions, and I don't have a car. JoJo knows that Abby's going away. She's like, I would like a car. I think you got your license, when, August 25th, 26th, something like that? So she got her license, and I said, we're going to have to ask the Lord. So it's amazing when a kid wants something, they engage God. You know, they want a phone, oh, Lord. They begin to talk, right? So right around this time, something happened. We got a phone call. Somebody came to us and said, you remember what they said?
They said they wanted to bless us
with
a car.
Someone wanted to give us a car. So we prayed about it for a second and said, yes. This is the car that was given to my daughter JoJo, right here. Tell us what type of car that is right there. Stop right there. Wait. You see on the license plate, you have that red thing? That lets you know it's a student driver, young high-risk driver, right? Go ahead. High deductible kid.
It's a Toyota Matrix, 2007.
You know how many miles are on it?
No.
140,000 miles. It's not like the highest level car, maybe $4,000 or $5,000 value, but this is the reason why I asked JoJo to come up here. She is more mild-mannered than the other two daughters. The other two are crazy. But let me tell you why. Because every time she gets in that car, she knows that's a gift from God. Someone gave us that car. Mom and Dad, we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to be adults. We're trying to take the lead. We're trying to listen to God. God has extended us more than we could, like as far as our bills. And we got a kid in college, another kid in college. Like, Lord, this would be the time to back away and not walk by faith and to try to hustle. Lord, we're trying to be obedient and do what you want us to do. But Lord, don't just do it in my heart. Do it in my kid's heart. She's leaving my home like in 9 months. So you can say whatever you want, but she's leaving my home. Either she's going to walk with God and walk by faith or not. So we went to the dealership, and the dealership was a buzz, right? And all the salesmen were like, they're like waiting for us. The gentleman just said, just come to the dealership. We didn't know a car would be ready. So they have it all. It's all primped and primed. It's all cleaned up, and they're all walking around excited. We're like, they said, you want to take a test drive? We're like, sure. And they gave it to us and got us out of there in 1 hour. You know the number one reason why people don't buy cars on the scene? Because it takes almost 6 hours to process. It takes a long time. You know that, right? In 1 hour, they processed that. Everything was paid. Tax title, everything. We walked out with not $1. JoJo, you remember the gentleman's name? So we started going through, like, the paperwork. You know, we're thinking, like, does this thing have an engine? You know, like, we started going through the paperwork. Who was the previous owner? Because remember now, this is already sealed. We're going to walk by faith this whole year. Got a daughter in college, another one finishing her year, another one 12 years old. We driving this car. Lord, are you in this? God, we need you. I don't care if I'm the pastor. I don't care if she's the pastor's kid. I don't care who you are, deacon, pastor. I don't care if you're ministry. If you do not walk by faith, you will not receive the reward of God. Say, Lord, we have to walk through this too. We're trusting you. Our missions, faith, promise, went through the whole thing. We went through the paperwork, and it had the owner of the vehicle who owned it before us. What was his name?
J. John Wagner.
John Wagner right there. If you're new to our church, my name is John Wagner. We're like, we feel like this is a gift from God. We felt in our heart. And I don't mean to embarrass you, JoJo, but do you feel like when you drive that car, God has given us that car? Yes. Good job, JoJo. Wonderful. Good job. Good testimony. Thank you. If anyone needs a ride home, right there, God gave us the car. So what this happens tomorrow, next Sunday, you're going to be given a card like this. This is all you have to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? If you're new, I'm not putting any burden on you. If you're new, this is not all we talk about. Please don't say, oh, all churches, all they care about is money. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is not true. But God's going to speak to your heart. You say, God, what do you want me to do for missions? The tithe belongs to God, goes to the local church. That's truth. But what do you want me to do above and beyond? And this is what God does for me. He tells me, and I write it down. The offering will come by or whatever. This goes to the church, and this goes into my pocket, and then I walk by faith for the next 12 months and say, God, I need you. I'm putting kids through college. My tires sometimes need to be replaced. I have to change my oil. It costs a lot of money for milk and gas and all these different things. But I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to walk by faith. You know why, Lord? Because, God, you've called me and called this church to fulfill the Great Commission. And we cannot do it unless we walk by obedience and by faith. So let me tell you, if you've never made a faith promise commitment, start with $5 a month. Even do this. Start with $1 a month. You know what I tell our staff? I'll give you the dollar. Just participate. But if you make $250,000, you say, oh, God, I'm going to walk by faith and give you $10. You're probably not walking by faith. Where God has blessed you, then you should go on top of that and say, Lord, I'm not just going to do 10%. I'm not just going to do 20%, but I'm going to be a generous giver. You say, well, John, what about the poor? If you come to this church, let me just tell you, if you come to this church, you know we don't hustle you for money. We take one offering. If we had to take offerings for every different department in the church and all the needs around, we would get just going crazy. We take one offering. Part of the offering through a faith promise is to help our missionaries who minister to the poor. I can't hustle you, but the Bible says if you'll take care of the poor, if you'll take care of the people who need, who really need Jesus, God will take care of us. I want to encourage you, begin to think, praying about, God, what do you want me to do for faith promise? And don't, watch this, he's going to tell you. For some of you, it's going to be $5 a month. Some of you, it's going to be $50. Next group of people, it's going to be $100 a month. Some of you, $500. There's some people in our church that give $1,000. Other people give $1,500 a month. You say, why share the numbers? Listen, I'm just telling you, if you'll allow God to expand you, he will use you in greater ways. Listen to this. Money is the currency of man. Faith is a currency of God. Let me say that again. Money is a currency of man. Faith is a currency of God. This is what I mean. Most people, they hustle money. They steal money. They lie on their taxes. It's all about money. Many men in this room, it's all about money. Money, money, money. I want money. Lots and lots of money, yeah. I want the pie in the sky. I want to be rich. You remember that one? Not some of you, that's a good one. My album's coming out. It's about money. Money's of the world. God says, listen, I want you to operate in faith. That's the currency of God. It's what God helps and moves. God will bless you for your obedience. Number two, we must expect God's presence to go with us. Look what the Great Commission says again, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want to tell everybody with authority in my voice, when you do what God asks you to do, you are not alone. He said he will be with us to the very end of the age. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, he was talking about the ship was about to go underground, but the Bible says this is what happened to Paul. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. only the ship will be destroyed. Notice this, verse 23. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul." I want to tell everyone in this room what God asks us to do. There is power in his presence with us to do what God asks us to do. Now, we just talked about cars, but there's something else that just kind of in our life. We have a neighbor who owns a used car dealership, mid to upper level type cars. And I don't know what it is about my neighbor. He's my friend. His name's Andy Arnold. He has Jonathan Motor Cars. But he lets me borrow some cars. They're nice cars. So you say, "Oh, Pastor John, he must be doing good driving cars." I'm actually not. I'm borrowing other people's cars. But about 2 weeks ago, my neighbor, in a joking, lovingly way, he lied to me. He says, "Hey, I need to change out one of the cars because they're doing inventory or something." I was like, "Ah," because I actually liked the car that I was driving. So I thought he was going to downgrade me to something, whatever. It's not a big deal. But in my driveway was a Ford 150 Raptor. And I felt like a man. I want to show you this vehicle right here. Watch this. Oh, baby! He didn't know I did that. He didn't know I did that. You know, like those little smart cars that people have in Europe? I saw one of those the other day, and I was driving the Raptor, and I just drove right on top of it and kept going. I just kept going. I felt like a man. My kids were so proud when I dropped them off at school. You know what I mean? My dad used to drive hoopties all the time. I used to make my dad like a quarter of a mile drop me off, and I would walk to school. You should have seen my 12-year-old daughter. She felt so good. Oh, man, I felt so good. I loved it. You know what? A couple days later, he took it away from me. I'm so mad. But this is what we know. It wasn't my car. My kids knew it wasn't my car. But for those couple days, I had power. I want to tell you, you're just a normal, regular person. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have endowment of power to do supernatural things that you can't do on your own. It's not yours. Everyone knows it's not yours. It is the Spirit and the presence and the power of God working through you to accomplish his work. He said, "I will be with you to the very end of the age. You'll be my witnesses, and the power of God will come through you." Say, "John, I want to reach my neighbors for Jesus. I know people are going through a divorce. People are hurting. People are on drugs. People are they're struggling with their finances. And there's all these issues that people have, even in suburban America. I believe God needs to give us faith and obedience and his presence and power still today in South Jersey." I was in North Jersey. I was one street away. I was 962 South Orange Avenue. You guys were on Brookdale. I get it. I was there. I actually helped renovate that building on Brookdale. We used to call it Crookdale. Crookdale. With my hands. My dad bought that building. I know all about it. In Newark, it's raw. It's gritty. You come to suburban America, you say, "Everything's okay." Let me tell you right now, not everything's okay. Heroin's running wild. Families are broken down, hurting people all around us. You'll say, "Lord Jesus, if you'll empower me by your Holy Spirit, I'll reach people, I'll invite people, I'll make a difference." And I'm just going to tell you that his presence will go with us. To raise children in our preschool and the field house and preaching and teaching and to be individual witness, all I know is God is a good and he's a faithful God. He will be with us forever. You say, "Can God use you? Can God use me?" The answer is yes. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You say, "John, I want that power. I get chicken, I get scared, I get nervous. Every time I try to witness to somebody, share the faith, they don't listen to me, whatever. I don't reach anybody from the Lord. 95% of Christians will never open their mouth. We don't believe God for miracles." I'm going to tell you that God said, "My presence and my power will go with you." Isn't that good news? What would happen if we did take a picture and say we commit ourselves and this movement to the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. What would happen if Marlton Youth Church, under Pastor Andy, Brandon Bufano, and the great leadership team, say, you know what, we want to do something great for God. We want to turn this thing upside down. The world's messed up. Hillary and Trump are not the answer. They're not the answer. They can't bring America back. The thing's going down. But we love America. We love our young people. We love our friends. Can God turn it around? I'm going to tell you, it's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. You say, John, listen, if I walk by faith and I extend myself, how am I going to make it financially? Let me tell you this. The churches that give to missions are the most blessed churches on the planet. If you'll give to missions, God will bless you. Say how? I don't know. All he knows, my family, my tribe, my network, we sat around. My kids were like, I want a car. I said, I don't have it. But I know this. We tithe. I know this. We give to missions. And you can say whatever you want about me, but God asked us to go up. And I had a kid in college, and we sat around and said, we're going to believe. You can ask my 12-year-old. You can ask my 18-year-old. We sat around and said, God, you're bigger than this. And somehow, miraculously, someone gave us, it's just a small car with 140,000 miles. But we saw the hand of God moving. And God blesses people and churches that give to missions. But we respond out of obedience. We respond by faith. And whatever God tells you to do, I promise you, he'll go with you. He'll go with you. You say, how's it going to work out? I have no clue. That's a little bit of the journey. He gets the glory, and people's lives will be touched by God. Be an inviter. Invite people. Don't be ashamed. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him down here, he'll be ashamed of you down there. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Invite people to church. Invite and give to missions. Give compassionately. Minister to the poor. Hurt the people that are hurting. This week, God's going to allow you to be with people who are hurting and broken. Serve them. Bless them. Help them. Don't be prejudiced. Go to them. God's going to speak to you in your heart. Pay for their meal. Bring them a ride home. Help them. Give them a pie. Whatever. God, I need you. Would you pray with me? I know we've had a full service. I know we've had a full service. But God wants to do a great work in our lives in Missions Convention 2016. He wants to extend your hearts. He wants to extend your faith. He wants you to change the world. And he said that his power will go with you. It's not your power, it's his power. It's his grace, it's his help. I'm walking through this life, this journey with you. I'm your shepherd, your under-shepherd. And I'm telling you, God will bless you. He will reward you. He will take care of you. He will endure you. He will strengthen you. And moms and dads, your kids will see it. I'm sorry, I had you close your eyes just for a second. Can you just open your eyes a second? You see this shirt right here? You should have seen my kids this morning. They're like, oh, Dad, don't wear it. You know when you came in, those flags? Little six-year-old kid in the backseat, hey, Dad, where are all the flags? You don't think that sticks in their head? You can joke with me. I've been here 8 years. Every time we put those flags out there, it's always windy. You know what the wind is in the Bible? Symbol of the Holy Spirit. Instead of the winds, like the flags going like this, they're always like this. Everyone I talk to, oh, you're the church with the flags. Yeah, man, we love people. You say a buddy barrel, a box, speed light cakes. You say, does that matter? All the flags, the graphics. You say all that. Yes, it matters. It matters to all of your kids. They're like, what's going on? What's our church? Oh, our church isn't selfish. We don't talk about money. It's all about Jesus. It will stick with them forever. Moms and dads, it matters. I know it sounds so small. It matters that Pastor John's wearing that shirt. It's all, you can tell, it's not ironed properly. I was trying to button, I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be like this or like this, I don't know. Someone from Liberia, 15 years ago gave it to me. You can say whatever you want, but Pastor John's all in. Pastor John's all in. So if you're in the jail cell, Pastor John's all in. If you're poor, Pastor John's all in. We have a praying church, we have a giving church. It's what our hearts are about. Hillary Trump, losing your job, not having enough insurance, your kids go off track a little bit, we're all in. It matters what you do. The flags, It matters. Teen Challenge, it matters. I'm not doing all this just for myself. We're doing it for Jesus. Say, Lord, what can I do? How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? What can I do? I found this to be true. You can't do everything, but we can do something. I'm not here to tell you, listen, we can feed all the poor, take care of all the missionaries. We can't come up with all the welfare. So I can't do it, but we can do something. You know, most people say, oh, man, it's too bad. The world's dying and going to hell. What time is Wheel of Fortune on? Doesn't move them. Doesn't change them. Doesn't take them take their TV, turn it off. Doesn't drive them to a prayer service. And your life, you're miserable because it's all about you. Americans are selfish. We need God to change our hearts and say, Jesus, what can we do? This church can raise $1 million a year for missions. Faith promise for our teen challenge goes up. This church can raise $1 million a year for missions. There's actually a church up in North Jersey, Bethany Church, that does it. God will press into your heart what you should do. God will change you. The pastors and leadership, I know it's so simple. I know the flags are so simple. The bulletin covers, it's simple. I get it. You can even make fun if you want. But people matter to God. People matter to God. When people come to the cross, they bow their knee and they say, Jesus, I'm broken, I'm hurting. Set me free from all of my sins. Jesus covers them with the blood and forgives them. And then from the out of the side came water and healing and restoration. His body was broken so he could be made whole. You've come to this place and you received a communion cup. If you don't have one, the ushers are coming down. The top